Well, this morning, I was hoping that we'd spend some time looking at the topic of godly counsel. It's a topic that when Pastor asked me to take a class here, it's something that's been on my heart for a while. We have often heard about how important the Word of God is to us making a decision, and prayer, the Holy Spirit. But not so often do we hear about seeking counsel before making decisions. And it's something that has come sort of by my own experience, a very real help in my own life in pursuing godly decisions. Often we seek counsel when we're in trouble and things are really bad. And actually, that's not really where the Bible directs us to. The Bible really directs us to find godly counsel long before there's a decision to be made and or a wrong decision's been made and we're in trouble. And so we're just going to spend some time looking at this topic. And it's, I have to admit, it's just the highlights. The more I got into it, the more I had to leave off the table. So hopefully this will just encourage you just to do your own study in your own reading, to that it would come out by the Spirit and convince you of its importance and really its usefulness to us as Christians. Let's turn first to Ephesians 5. Really, our basis for why do we believe God wants us to live wisely? Why do we believe God wants us to live wisely? Or why is it optional? Is it just for the wise people? Verses 15, 16, and 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's our imperative from the Lord to walk wisely, to live wisely. It's not an option. It's not like, well, I guess I could live foolishly, or I could live wisely, I could live haphazardly, I could live my own way, or, you know, some people live more spiritual, some people live less spiritual. That's not really an option for us as Christians, and it's not from this text. It's a directive. Walk circumspectly. I didn't know what that word meant, really, so I had to look it up. With purpose, right? Yeah, I don't know if anybody else has any circumspectly. Yeah, with purpose, right? That's in some of the definitions. Circumspectly. The terms that came out to me out of the definitions, the various definitions, were carefulness. Now, you guys might actually have a different translation than me, but this verse, the word is often changed into carefully or carefulness. It requires carefulness for us to live wisely as opposed to foolishly. And that's really what the Lord is driving us to be careful or considering in our way of living, in our walk. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But the key thing that we need to take away from is that's what the Lord told us to do, to walk carefully, to walk wisely. And so it's not an option. It's not like, yeah, you know, I know some people who live wisely, but, you know, I'm not old or I'm not I'm not wise, so, you know, I haven't been blessed with much wisdom, so I'm just going to, you know, do my best. That's not really an option for us. And often, I think, at least the way I used to think, is that getting counsel was kind of optional. And so that's really the question. Is it optional? Is it optional? We often think of counsel as, well, it'd be nice to have good counsel. I don't know where I'd get it. I don't know anybody that could give me counsel. I mean, I could ask somebody, but what do they know more than I do? You know, that's what we often think. We often don't know what we don't know. You know, we know what we do know, but we don't know what we don't know, and we don't know what other people know. We don't really understand everyone's experience, what they have, what God has taught them, and God brings us all different ways. And so he teaches us in different areas, and so we don't realize when we're faced with a problem, we often don't go much beyond outside ourselves. It's somewhat humbling, and it's difficult for us, you know, to approach a peer or even a subordinate and say to them, I'm having this problem, and I don't know really what to do. You know, we think to ourselves, I should know the answer. I have my Bible, I have prayer, I have the Holy Spirit. Why should I have to go to anybody else? Well, the Scriptures really give us clear indication that we should pursue counsel, that it's not just the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, that it's not, that is, should not only be our only guide in this life. And I was surprised to find out how strong the evidence is for this. Let's turn to Proverbs 1, kind of the definition of wisdom and the purpose of wisdom. A familiar passage for all of us. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So in this opening passage where Solomon's kind of giving us the reason for his writing and why it's important to have wisdom and what are its purposes and benefits, he gives us a little snapshot into who gets counsel, who hears advice, who not just listens to it, but actually who takes advice. And I was kind of surprised this was kind of hitting me. It's like, I thought, you know, foolish people go to wise people to get counsel. I thought that would be the first application. But that's not what the first application here in the fifth verse of the first chapter is. It is wise people get counsel. Wise people need counsel. Wise people are the ones who need it. Now, I think this is the first kind of principle we should walk away from, is counsel is for all of us. And it's those who are actually have enough wisdom to understand that they need it that should pursue it. And so we should take wisdom in this as our first step in counsel, is we all need counsel. From the wisest to the least wise, we all need counsel. And so that's really the driving of this verse, is a man of understanding. It doesn't say like a guy who doesn't really know what's going on needs to go and figure it out and go to somebody who's wise. It's actually a man who has understanding goes to go and find and go and apprehends counsel. It seems counterintuitive to us. We think, well, you know, we have this picture like the Sikhs, right? They have the guru, he sits on the mountain, and he waits for underlings to come up the mountain and come to and say, you know, I have this question, you know, Should I do this or should I do that? And that's not really the biblical picture for us of counsel. The biblical picture of us is that a wise person goes and finds others to help him make future wise decisions. He sees his need, and he sees that it's not like it's something that's unapprehendable. And we're going to get into this, but where do we find it? It's not like it's a rare individual with, you know, a counsel badge on him. And it's like, you know, and we have a few of them, or a counselor, or someone who's trained in counseling. It's not something that rare. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 11. And as you guessed, a lot of our passages are going to be in Proverbs today. Verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It's a contrast here of great calamity without counsel. Don't get counsel. Big problems. Get counsel and get a lot of it. And there will be benefit. Benefit here is safety. It's actually confidence in the actual purposes. And we're going to see that in the future verses. But it's not just get a little counsel. Now it's not wise people get counsel and they don't just get a little bit of it. And we're going to see why here in a minute. Verses chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Again, this is kind of the converse of what we saw in chapter 1, verse 5. The last part is very clear, is if you listen to counsel, and this is more than just hearing it audibly, but it's actually getting it, receiving it, contemplating it, and actually following good counsel, that defines you, the Lord defines you as wise, not as inadequate or someone who's lacking. The definition is, if you hear counsel, you get it, and you listen to it, you are wise. You are wise. It's actually a commendation. It's not a, well, you know, you could do a little bit better if you were on your own, you read your Bible more, you prayed more. You would be fine. You wouldn't need it, but it's okay. It's a crutch. It's not a crutch. Here, it's a badge of honor to go and get counsel. That is also converse in our society. We're pretty independent. You know, we have our own laptops, have our own phones, sit in our own cars. In this society, we do everything ourselves. We don't want to depend on anybody else. And here, the scripture is telling us, the wise person depends on, in a regular basis, in the decisions of their life, counsel from others. Counsel from others. And the converse now, in the first part of the verse, is you're a fool if you don't. You actually, if you just want to confine your plans, your decisions, to the definition of your own thoughts of what is right, what is wrong, what is good, better, best, the scriptures is telling us that we're fools, because it's very easy to kind of convince ourselves, whatever decision we're making, it's the best way. I mean, I fall into this trap a lot. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that would be a good idea. And then you say, and then this will happen, and then this will happen. Yeah, that's a great plan. And if you don't have anybody else vetting it, you're probably not going to come to another conclusion, even if you sleep on it or, you know, pray about it, think about it a little bit longer. Very often, we can be very convinced without outside critical analysis of what we're thinking and why we're doing something and the best way to do it. There's a lot of aspects that we don't see because we're only able to see it from our perspective. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So this is kind of a different aspect of counsel, is you have a plan, you have something you'd like to accomplish. It's a good thing. It's nothing that someone's going to be finding controversy with, saying, well, you shouldn't do that, or you should try it later. It's something that you should do. And you know you should do it. It's your responsibility, actually. And it's your prerogative. And it's your privilege to do. So the question is, why spend any time getting counsel? I'm just going to go do it. Everybody else does it. That, in my position, that's what we do. The verse here is, even if it is your job, even if God has given you the responsibility, even if it is your prerogative to do, whether you're a king or a mom or a president or the janitor, whoever you are, if it's your job, your area, your plan, the scriptures is telling us it's better if you get counsel in what it is that you have before you to do. It's better. In fact, it establishes a basis for success. And we often hear about, you know, all kinds of schemes and plans and ways to be successful in life. But here the scripture is telling us, if you want to make decisions and you want to go down a path and you want a purpose that's going to be established, get counsel. Now these aren't magic formulas, as you know. The Proverbs are not absolute for us, but they are guidelines and principles for the way we should live. And this couldn't be more evident to me, that counsel, even in the things that we believe we know how to do, we're responsible to do, we're supposed to do, that is our responsibility, not somebody else's, we should seek counsel from and advice. Now, you know, this is a different relationship than getting direction from. This is not just simply being told what to do. It's not that simple. This is really seeking counsel from people who are godly, who know God's word, who are going to help us think through the matter and give us advice, maybe a different perspective. This verse here is actually not talking about someone who's going to tell you to do the opposite. It's actually going to tell you, the way I interpret it, is to get a multitude of counselors to help you how, when, to help you think through the aspects, the steps. Maybe you missed something. You had A, B, and D, and Q, but you didn't have all the other things weighed out properly in how to approach the matter. And so that's really here, counsel, we start to see a little bit more from the Proverbs of the benefits of counsel, is to help expand our vision of the whole matter so that we can actually be established in what we're doing. Proverbs chapter 19. As we're thinking about, is counsel optional? Is it just nice to have? Is it just better to do, or other people do it, but, you know, I don't really know how to do it. I don't want to do it. Hear counsel, 19 verse 20. Hear counsel, the imperative. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Here, there's nothing subtle about it. Hear it. Hear it, and not just listen to it, but hear it, receive it, take it, put it inside, assimilate it, make it a part of your thinking. It's somewhat humbling for us to have to go outside of ourselves to go and ask for advice on something that we think, well, I think I know what I'm doing. I really don't need anybody's opinion about it. You know, if I needed their opinion, you know, I'd be in a sorry state as them, you know. You know, we're thinking to ourselves, you know, it really gets down to that. We start making relative judgment calls about one another when we decide we don't want counsel from somebody else or we don't pursue it. That's really where we're at here. I mean, that's really where it gets down to, is, you know, this instruction from Solomon to get counsel, hear counsel, get a lot of it. Do it if you want to have what you normally do and what you're responsible to do to be established, being a parent or being a father, being a husband, or being a good employee or being an employer. We think to ourselves, well, why do I need this? I seem to be doing okay on my own. And why would I go to this other person? They don't look like they're doing really that much better than me, you know? We think to ourselves, so we're really making judgments about where God has given wisdom to other people that we really can't perceive. We really can't perceive, and we're not in a position to judge. You know, we haven't lived through the life of the other person. We barely have the ability to comprehend the life God's given us to live, let alone in this body here of 50 or 60 believers, to know what the other has been taught by God at a certain time in their life that may actually be what God has prepared for you to gain wisdom and knowledge and to aid you in your walk in glorifying God. The last verse here is Proverbs 24, verse 6. 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Here is another encouragement for us, not only in day-to-day decisions, but very big decisions that affect a lot of people. You say, well, I'm going to make the final call on this. I'm in charge. I'm responsible. I'm the dad. I'm the papa. I'm the whatever. I'm the grand poobah. I've got to make the call on this. You know, I decide whether we have potato salad or chicken salad, you know, and that's right. That's not in any way, in all the verses we've looked at, the responsibility doesn't move in the counsel relationship, counselor-counselee relationship. The responsibility doesn't move. The buck doesn't stop somewhere else. It's not like somebody else, if they give you counsel, all of a sudden now they're somehow partially responsible, or you've got a fall guy to go to. That's nowhere in any of our verses that we've looked at. But it is still the responsibility of the one making the decision to get the counsel and to do it in an organized, proper way so that we can, with confidence, go forward in our decisions, knowing that after we've prayed, we've sought the Lord, we have His Word, we receive counsel on the particular subject, and we have used discernment to divvy it all out. We now have the confidence to know we have obeyed the Lord in everything we can do and then go forward in the decision by faith. So sources of godly counsel. You know, we've talked about, is it optional? And I would argue from what we've seen so far, it's mandatory. For us to live according to the Scriptures, getting counsel in our daily life is mandatory. So where do we get it? Let's turn to Psalm 23. We know the Lord and His Word. They are our chief counselors. And those that we're going to get counsel from are going to go to the same source. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And in our context, we can clearly say, whether it be, in many cases, we think of ourselves, I shall not want for comfort, I shall not want for physical needs. But here, I would argue, we shall not want for advice, for counsel, for direction in our lives. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. This last phrase is clearly a moral direction. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Its moral direction is right and wrong. The best or the not so good is where should I go? What should I do? Who should I choose? How should I spend this next hour, moment, day, month, year? Where should I put my priority? You know, these decisions, they come up, you know, faster than, you know, a video game on an Xbox. You know, these decisions in our life are, you know, one moment we're doing what we believe the mundane, and very quickly we come upon what we realize is a decision that will affect us and others and our family for years to come. And we must really believe that the Lord is there and not left us on our own. Not left us on our own. Psalm 33. The Lord knows we need counsel. And the Lord is there for us. Verses 10 and 11. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. I found the first verse kind of interesting. Counsel to naught. You know, we're gonna look at Ahithophel a little bit later. God being the author of all good counsel. You know, this is really the definition of godly counsel, is that it is God's words for applied appropriately to our particular situation. You know, that's kind of a lot of the definitions that you see in a lot of people of wisdom. It, being able to apply at the right time, at the right place, the right direction from the Lord. And here, we're encouraged that we don't have to worry about finding the latest new fad, idea, principle, concept that's been written in a book in the last year, 2 weeks. If we're looking for something new, we should be a little bit concerned for ourselves. We have a problem and we're looking for something new or some new discovery in wisdom. Here we're being told that the Lord's counsel is established, stands forever, and is appropriate for all generations, those in the past, those of us who are in the future. It's applicable. And so now we know counsel from the Lord is not something that we're going to find. Oh, we have to go create some new counsel. We have to go get some new counsel. Or maybe somebody has a new perspective on something that, you know, no one else ever saw before. What we can be dependent on is that the Lord's counsel, where our problems are the same of previous generations and the Lord's solutions are the same to all generations. And it's going to stand that way. It's not going to be found, oh, well, you know, it's kind of an old idea. And, you know, that's when they used to wear tunics or they used to have chariots, and that doesn't work for us anymore. That's not really what the Scripture is telling us. It's telling us any generation, the Lord's counsel is going to fit us where we live for the decisions we have. Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. It's kind of, I found this verse kind of profound, is, you know, this is kind of the summary of our life as Christians. We live this life living to God's glory, striving to live to God's glory. That's the purpose of all of us, our existence, whether we know it or not. And we need God's counsel to actually do the job he's given us to do, to live to his glory. And then in the end, we're received up by him. I mean, that's really the summary of our life. And I found this verse interesting because it actually has counsel in the summary of our entirety. Well, there's too many verses to go on, and our time is running out. So I'm going to just touch on a couple of verses that talk about men. Men. Should we really believe men should be our counselors? And there's a lot of verses here, but I'm going to go to the one I think that's the strongest evidence, is Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. Should we go to men? We have the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Bible. Why should we go to anybody else? Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, But a man of understanding will draw it out. Here, clearly given to us a direction to go, to be wise, to be men and women of understanding, is to go find someone else, find out where the wisdom is, and draw it out like deep water. It's not like on the surface. It's not like, oh, here's a pond, here's a stream, I'll go and get water. If you guys have been camping, that's the easiest way to get water. Not melting snow, not digging for it, is just, hey, find something on the surface. Unfortunately, counsel is not like that for us. Counsel is often found in the recesses of other individuals, in their experience, in their understanding, and in what God's revealed to them. And it's actually kind of a little snapshot for us, is this is going to be work. So it's a little bit humbling, and it's going to be a little bit of work. And I think that's the two reasons I haven't actually sought counsel is, number one, it's arrogance. I don't really want to humble myself to go and ask somebody, I really don't know what to do here. It's kind of an obvious situation, I've kind of got myself in this thing, and I don't know where to pick which one. And then the other one is, it's work. It takes work to go and talk to somebody else. And, we're naturally lazy. We don't want to go and, and talk to this person. Can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And then, and then take in what they have and sort it all out. That's too much work. I'd rather just push the button, make the decision, and hope for the best, but then we're not given that kind of freedom to be irresponsible or to be unwise. We really are not. Let's look at a couple of people. One of them is Moses. The other ones, which we won't get time to look at, are David and Apollos. But Moses, Exodus chapter 18, Moses. I actually found this quite interesting. Moses, he talks to God. God talks to him. He gets stuff written down by God, by his own finger, handed to him. He goes somewhere. He goes to a mountain. The mountain's burning down. God talks to him. He hears God audibly. He sees the back of God. He gets counsel from a human being. I thought to myself, well, why doesn't he just get counsel from the Lord? No, Moses, don't do this. Moses, don't do that. God puts in his way his father-in-law. His father-in-law. Exodus chapter 18. We'll just read a couple of verses. You guys know this section very well, with his interaction with Jethro. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. Listen up. Get counsel. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Here, the patriarch, Moses, has his father-in-law intervene, sees him, he's got a problem, and gives him very practical counsel, and he receives it. And he does exactly what Jethro tells him to do. And we're not given any indication, well, Jethro is a very wise man, Jethro is a counselor, Jethro is, chief counselor, the senior vice president of counsel. We don't get any indication that he has any demarcation as being a regular wise counselor. In fact, this is one of the few places we even hear mentioned. Yet Moses humbly receives it, wisely receives it, and the whole of Israel is benefited by it. And he took his opportunity of having the ear of Moses and seeing the situation and giving it to him in a way that we don't see. Joshua doesn't turn to him. Aaron doesn't give him any advice. All the elders don't. I just found this very interesting. For a man who speaks to God, has his word, leads his people, has power supernaturally endued on him, he needs human counsel. Human counsel to do God's work. Not human counsel to do something trivial. To do God's work in caring for his people. It was a lesson to me. It should be a lesson to us. David is the same way, and I don't have time to get into it, where he receives in 1 Samuel 25 counsel from a woman, Abigail. He has a plan. You know, he's been taking care of this guy's land and sheep and flock from marauding people, and this Nabal doesn't really reciprocate. And so he has a plan. It's easy. You know, I'm just going to go, every male, I'm just going to kill them all, and we'll be done with this problem, and we'll move on. We'll have all the food we need to feed our guys, and we won't have this irritation of an unthankful individual walking the earth anymore. And he gets counsel from Abigail, and he actually commends her in verse 32. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice," or counsel, "and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood." It was kind of interesting to me to see at this time David, who is going to be the king, and he knows it, getting counsel from this woman when he had a plan, he had a path, he had the way to do it, he had the means to do it, he had the ability to do it, and he felt very justified in doing it. Hearing counsel and realizing what he was about to do, because in our own eyes we're often fools, it was wrong. It was wrong to do. This was an overreaction to start killing people because they're ungrateful. That you know, you see, this is a relative judgment. We need other people to start putting perspectives. Yes, that's not right what Nabal was doing, but what you're doing is also not right. So, in summary, we need counsel, and with counsel, we think, okay, well, great. I see counsel is important. I see counsel is necessary. It's not optional. It's an imperative. We need it from God, and we get it from godly men and women. But now, okay, so in our search for wisdom, asking for counsel might seem like, okay, I got it. I'm set. I'm done. Got my counsel. Got my Bible verses. Got my prayer. Go make the decision. And unfortunately, getting counsel is just the beginning. It's not an end. Because we're sinners, and we have to get counsel also from other sinners. And so in so many places, we get counsel, and we get a multitude of it. We're going to get conflicting counsel. We're going to get different counsel. And in some cases, we're going to get wrong counsel. We're going to get wrong counsel. And we know, that there is no counsel against the Lord. So the key thing is making sure the wall of the scriptures is never violated by any counsel we decide to take in and receive. And that is clear to all of us. But then how about in those finer points where, like, you know, it's red or blue, and everyone's like, well, I think you should go for the red. Well, no, I think you should go for the blue, you know? And you're thinking to yourself, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? This is one of the challenges that we have. There are no easy answers for us. And even with those, you know, we have this example of Rehoboam where, you know, he goes and talks to his young men and the old men, and they say, and it was clear to us, you know, where the counsel was. But he actually got two different kinds of counsel, opposite direction, you know. Speak kindly to the people, make their burden less or make their burden more. There was obvious to us. It wasn't obvious to him. And it may not, and there are many situations it's not obvious to us which is the right way. But nonetheless, we're not in that light. We're not actually given the relief. Oh, okay, well, this counsel stuff doesn't work. I'm not going to do it anymore. We're not given that relief in the scriptures. It's that tension. We're told, go and pursue counsel. Get it from sinful human beings. It's a requirement. But there is no expectation that here on earth that we're going to have counsel that's perfect or it's ideal or it's a panacea, you know, just stick the key, turn it, and it always works every time. So why do we look at this subject at all? Why do we look at this subject at all? Even though it's not easy, it's necessary for us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It's actually necessary for us as those who represent God on this earth. Just one last verse and then we'll close. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. We're walking circumspectly. That's our responsibility. That's our privilege. Here in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, here again, Paul uses this word, same word, walk. You know, the way we talk about living, how we live, how we perform our daily duties. That ye would walk worthy of God, that we walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. This actually gives us honor, honor to live in this way, honor to live wisely. It's an honorable thing to be a child of the Lord, and we should live in that way. We should actually take on that responsibility and realize the honor that we've been given to live godly, to live wisely, and see not just all the responsibility, but see that it's our privilege. And so I'm hoping that this was of some encouragement to all of you. It's been very good for me to study through it again and again. And I hope that this has encouraged you to see the importance of counsel, to maybe as you're reading, in your own reading, to see counsel coming out of the scriptures and that God would use it to encourage you to actually make it a part of your regular daily, weekly, monthly lives and making decisions on not just the big things and not just when you're in trouble, but long before that, so that God may bless us and that we may glorify him in the way we live. Let's pray. Lord and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for how rich it is and how beautiful it is. Lord, we pray for us as a church here that we would use one another in seeking counsel, that we would benefit one another in giving counsel, and that, Lord, you would bless us with wise counsel so that we might live to your honor and to your glory here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.